You don't think that momentum's going to stop? The internet is a global infrastructure, and it's going to be here for a long time.
Oh yeah,
it's not just a stepping stone towards the real intelligent network.
No, you know, one of the beauties of the internet is its simplicity. There's a few simple rules that it has. I'm a member, I'm a member of a board of the Santa Fe Institute, which is a nonprofit think tank kind of activity of multidisciplinary scientists. I mean, people are all scientists, either, you know, they're medical or mathematical or computer or economics and archaeologists. And they get together and basically teach each other their own methods, you know, of how they do research and how they explore in their own fields. And, of course, what they find out is that a method that works in one field is quite applicable to another field. Immunologists, real-life immunologists, describing their, you know, how the autoimmune system works in a human being, have been listened to by computer scientists who listen to that and say, hey, that sounds like the right way to design and write virus, you know, protection software. It's funny that the word virus we stole from them, okay, actually to describe, you know, bad programmers or naughty programmers is actually the source of the cure, right? I mean, go back to the same field and learn from them. So anyway, that's all a big segue that says that the simplicity of the internet is its strength. And all it takes is a few simple rules. And the simple rules of the internet are: let there be no one in control. Let associations form. Let people just connect to each other who wish to. Put the responsibility for the communication in the end systems. That's really a corollary of let no one be in control. So, I mean, because if you want to have some assurance that something happened, well, the assurance has to come from somewhere. So it really has to be, you know, in the end systems, if it's not in the network. You were talking about the intelligent network before. I mean, that's, you know, the phone company, TPC, right? Okay, wanting to, you know, sell tons and tons of services, when in fact they and no one can imagine and bring to bear all the services that people really can dream up by themselves. You're really giving people a very fundamental new communication, you know, capability with the internet technology. And it's just foolhardy to think that someone can design all that in advance and put it on a tariff sheet, and forevermore you'll be eternally happy with those services and those services only. So the internet really is a groundswell kind of thing. I mean, you were at INET with me in Kobe, Japan last summer, okay, and saw and felt the emotion of those people from the emerging countries, right, who are just, you know, excited as can be about getting, you know, getting connected, you know, in a very intellectual and emotional way to the rest of the world, in such a rapid way of doing it. I mean, just by buying a few little modems and a PC or two or something like that, and some little piece of software, they're right into the mainstream late 20th century, you know, technology. And they have the brains to do it, and it's not very costly to do it. And it's just, you know, that infection. You know, when you see newcomers come into it and you see how they react, boom, you know this is the right thing. You know, it's got a long play.
You're right. It is amazing. In fact, in some ways, the internet is most useful the farther away from the core you get. If you're at a national laboratory, it's nice. If you're isolated someplace in the middle of the desert, it may be essential.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of the TCP/IP-based computers that are sold end up in some little LAN island. They're not on the internet. And I guess that raises a couple questions. One is, are these islands going to connect up to the internet? And also, are we meeting the needs of these people that are not connecting to the net? Is the TCP/IP standards process meeting the needs of a small corporate consumer?
Well, the answer is no, okay, and they're isolated for two reasons. You know, number one, it's easier to stay isolated because they don't have to worry. They hear, well, I'm not a government thing or whatever. The acceptable use policy, I don't know if I should be on the net or something like that, and so they just stay off. Why bother? But if they wanted to get on, and they almost all can, I mean, I sort of believe that this whole AUP thing is silly. I mean, you know. But if they want to get on, how do they find anything? And that's the hard part, right? You know, you have this, the white pages. I mean, you know, we've had these various X500 experiments and DNS things, and, you know, forget what the exact technology is. Okay, the idea of having this giant white pages in the sky, you know, where everything is connected to everything and you can learn anything about anybody you want to and all that sort of jazz, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint, you know, from a social standpoint, from a legal standpoint. So we have this problem of when you get on the internet, you know, well, what do you get on to? Because there's nobody in charge. There's just people out there communicating who want to communicate and who form subgroups, I mean, you know, or collections of people, and they pass each other's addresses around and names of files, and you know, it's seductive to think, oh, well, that can all just be in one giant file, you know what I mean, one giant database in the sky. It's all just data, right? And it's all pretty, you know, probably only 1,000 different kinds of entries. Maybe it's 200, maybe it's 10,000, you know, but I mean, there's some finite, you know, number of attributes that you might, you know, look up things by. It's, you know, we'll all need, you know, Steve Chen, you know, we'll never go out of business, okay? We'll all need Super Craze, you know, to just do a lookup of a name. So, you know, think about the voice telephone system, which is rather pervasive worldwide. There's no single white pages, right? You know, if you want to look up, if you want to get someone's name, you know, in Lyon, France, I mean, you know, you go to the expense of calling up the operator in Lyon, okay, a special kind of directory assistance thing, you know, fishing around, right? And if you don't speak French, well, then you got to find a translator, I mean, you know, whatever, in order to get, you know, to get someone's phone number. So that's just not all done automatically in the sky. And there's lots of good social reasons and business reasons for that.
So how are we going to get these people on the net then? I'm assuming that's a good thing to do, right? To connect these little islands up so we can talk to them if we want to. Not saying we have to talk to them.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to get...
Well, I think the first thing you got to get them on is just email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first hook, right? That's the benefit, okay? And of course, we all know that email is a, you know, you don't have to be completely and fully connected in order to have, you know, email connectivity. It might take a few hours of polling and dialing and things like that. You know, it's a sort of a store and forward system, and it's not a, you know, full live, you know, IP connected way. So the first way is to get them hooked on email, and that problem's basically solved. What I mean by that is, you can buy from, you can have your own little local mail system, and, you know, whether it's, you know, a TCP/IP mail, SMTP mail system, or a Novell, you know, mail system, or a Microsoft, or whatever, and that does all your local isolated mail, and then buy an account at MCI, or buy an account at Sprint, or buy an account at AT&T, okay, and, or CompuServe, or, you know, any of these, you know, services, and then, you know, you can plug all your mail through that and use those as forwarding agents. That's, you know, that's what I see happening, okay, is those commercial mail services are really becoming, you know, the backbone, and, you know, mail forwarders, they're becoming mail forwarders, and not so much that people actually use them to do the mail on. For instance, you know, I know a company that started out on MCI mail, and they had like a couple thousand people, you know, using MCI mail. And then they bought Lotus Notes, okay, which gave them a richer way of manipulating, you know, their information, and they use Lotus Notes now as their mail system, but they still use MCI to actually deliver the bits, but they no longer use the MCI, you know, front ends or anything like that, right?
So MCI in that case has turned into a transit net.
It's turned into a transit net.
They're part of the internet backbone.
They're part of the internet backbone, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely right, you know. I mean, I get mail from my headquarters company through MCI, you know, and they have, you know, netware. I mean, it's just this giant hodgepodge, okay, and it just kind of works. And so that gets people infected, gets them going on, you know, and you can sign up for MCI mail in, you know, Ethiopia. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, they'll give you a number to call. I'm not sure it's absolutely 100% universal, but I'll bet it's very close. And then you get hooked. And then you say, okay, well, now I want some real-time connectivity so I can send files around of arbitrary, you know, size and all that sort of jazz and listen to internet talk radio, whatever it is you want. You know, then you're motivated, okay, to go the next step, okay, which is to get, you know, to go buy a router from somebody or lease a router or lease a service. I mean, it's kind of too bad. You know, I come from a technical world, and you know, I always think in terms, and I was a computer guy, you know, so I always think in terms of getting the hardware, right, and buying the software and configuring it and running it and all that jazz. You know, most people really don't want to bother with that. You know, they just want to buy a service, right? I mean, they just want to call a phone number and up and say, here's what I want, and where do I, you know, bring something over and plug it in, or and send me the bill. And I'll argue about the bill, but, you know, I just want to see a bill and some service. And that's the next step. That's the next commercial step for the Internet, is to have service providers who just do that and do it, you know, for a reasonable price, but take the headache of operating your network away from you. It is a headache.
This is Geek of the Week, featuring interviews with prominent members of the technical community. Geek of the Week is brought to you by O'Reilly & Associates and by Sun Microsystems.